Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek v OFF programu skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Svoboda medijev na področju bivše Jugoslavije. Organizacija Novinari brez meja je v tem tednu objavila poročilo o stanju novinarske svobode povsod po svetu. Na vrhu lestvice so pričakovano pristale vse skandinavske države in Republika Irska. Bolj zaskrbljujoče je stanje novinarske svobode v Sloveniji, ki od leta 2006, ko je pristala na visokem 9. mestu, po lestvici konstantno pada. Letos je Slovenija pristala na 37. mestu, ki ga deli s Poljsko in je takole mesto pred Bosno in Hercegovino. Od bivših jugoslovanskih republik je pred Slovenijo na 34. mestu Makedonija. Hrvaška, ki je med bivšimi republikami najnižje, zaseda 78. mesto, Srbija je 62. Kosovo pa še 13 mest nižje. Namen lestvice je predstaviti stanje novinarske svobode v času med 1. septembrom lani in 31. avgustom letos. Seveda so najprej postavlja vprašanje o metodologiji zbiranja potrebnih podatkov. O tem smo povprašali predsednika Novinarjev brez meja, Olivieja Bazila, zadolženega za pokrivanje stanja medijske svobode v Evropski uniji in državah Balkana v omenjeni organizaciji.
Well, concerning the methodology, I would say it's quite simple. We have a questionnaire, in fact, for some years now, that we send to some contacts in those countries, to our correspondents, to people in the university, professional organization of press, some contacts inside the media as well. Some lawyers regarding the some juridicals and the key points inside those countries, and we send this questionnaire a few months before the release of the index, asking them to fill out the questionnaire and to send it back to us. And after this, we compile the results, and then with some points and some ponderation as well, we offer the opportunity to give the ranking. So the kind of methodology used and the questionnaire is available on the website of Reporters Without Borders. At the bottom of the press release, you have the documents that refers to this method.
Naša južna soseda se sooča s težkimi primeri vplivanja in javnih groženj proti novinarjem. Seveda izstopa primer bombnega napada na Iva Pukaniča, predsednika uprave medijske skupine Nacional, v katerem je umrl tudi vodja marketinga družbe Niko Franič. Zdenka Duko, predsednika Hrvaškega združenja novinarjev, smo vprašali, ali je glavni razlog za nizek položaj Hrvaške na lestvici prav omenjeni napad.
Da, u drugim državama, pa zapravo ja mislim nigdje u Europi osim u Rusiji i u Hrvatskoj nije ubijen novinar u tom razdoblju. I to je onda kažnjeno tako niskim mjestom, mislim da je to sigurno glavni razlog, stvari dvoje ljudi je ubijeno u istom napadu bombom. Ivo Pukanić, novinar i šef marketinga Nacionala. To je sigurno glavni razlog za takav pad od 33, čini mi se, mjesta u odnosu na prošlu godinu. Dakle, to je bila u tom ocjenjivom razdoblju zapravo najgora je bila prošla godina po napadima na novinare. Ove je mirnije na sreću, dakle nema nekih većih incidenata u tom smislu baš za sigurnost novinara. A inače tu se i navodi kao u obrazloženju isto tako jedna tužba ministra unutarnjih poslova Tomislava Karamarka protiv jednog freelancera Željka Peratovića koji je in Albanija piše blog. Da je sada tužba zapravo odbačena prije nekoliko dana, ali evo i ona je uzela isto svoj jedan, da tako kažem, utjecala je sigurno na tu dosta lošu ocjenu.
Olivier Bazil je v primeru padca Hrvaške na lestvici izpostavil isti primer napada na Pukanića, istočasno pa je predstavil tudi težave, s katerimi se soočajo novinari, ki kritično pišejo o domovinski vojni ter odnosih med Srbijo in Hrvaško.
Well, first of all, the main reasons why Croatia has dropped at the latest place is that there was two people killed in Croatia during between the period between September 2008 and September 2009. Ivo Pukanić, who was the owner of a newspaper National, and his marketing director was shot dead by a bomb attack in front of the media, which obviously is for us a bad signal. Even if Croatia seems to be able to join the EU, obviously this kind of methods and this kind of signal is not positive for the press freedom. Killing journalists inside Europe is not always a good signal sent. More than that, we have the case also of Zlatko Peratović, who still is under threat from different kind of juridical aspect in his own way of life and his own way of working as a journalist, especially regarding all the supposed crime during the last conflict between Serbia, Croatia, and all in this part of area. It's quite difficult for any journalist in Croatia to investigate all this part of history. And even if you are able to investigate about this, you don't find any kind of support ready to publish this as well, which obviously create very high self-censorship in the media. Yes, regarding these personal issues. The influence in the public media is still very important from the government, who are able to not control the media, but at least influence a lot the kind of reports and the kind of way of thinking, especially regarding the issues for Croatia to join the EU. But mainly it was the death of two journalists by a bomb attack, who still is not under investigation, and we're still waiting for the responsible for this.
Srbski parlament je prav 31. avgusta, torej na zadnji dan, ki ga še pokriva raziskava o medijski svobodi, sprejel sporen medijski zakon. Ta v nekaterih primerih omogoča velike kazni proti medijem. Govorili smo s predsednico Združenja novinarjev Srbije, Liljano Smajlović, ki je bila presenečena nad sicer majhnim porastom države na lestvici.
Veoma sam se iznenadila kada sam čula da je Srbija bitno popravila svoj rejting na toj rang listi Reportera bez granica, tim pre što je to izveštaj koji se poklapa sa 31. avgustom ove godine, a u tom izveštaju se uopšte ne pominje činjenica da je 31. avgusta Skupština Srbije usvojila veoma represivan, po mom mišljenju, drakonski zakon o medijima, i ne mogu da shvatim taj po meni pomalo sumnjiv i neprofesionalan postupak Reportera bez granica, jer je to veoma ohrabrilo ovdašnje vlasti. Znate, ovdje će nama uskoro Ministarstvo kulture da kaže, molim da srpski novinari se bune, a evo mi imamo potvrdu Reportera bez granica da to nije nikakva smetnja slobodi izražavanja u Srbiji, taj zakon koji su srpski novinari toliko kritikovali.
Onda ste vi vrlo kritični do ovog zadnjeg istraživanja.
Ja sam kritična zbog toga što to istraživanje, iako obuhvata 31. avgust 2009. uopšte ne spominje najvažniju stvar koja se desila sa medijima ove godine u Srbiji, a to je donošenje jednog izuzetno spornog zakona. Mi imamo analizu prestižne američke advokatske kuće koja se bavi medijskim pravom Covington i Berling, koja kaže da je taj zakon protivan i evropskim normama i srpskom ustavu. Mi smo pokrenuli postupak u Ustavnom sudu Srbije. Ustavni sud sada ocenjuje da li je taj zakon u skladu sa Ustavom Srbije. Mi smo uvereni da on nije u skladu sa evropskim normama, da je suprotan presudama, odnosno standardima koje je uspostavio Evropski sud za ljudska prava u Strasburu, i ne razumemo kako može jedna tako ugledna organizacija kao što su Reporteri bez granica da se ponaša kao da se to nikad nije desilo.
Ali je novi medijski zakon u Srbiji vplival na medijsko svobodo, pa smo povprašali tudi Bazila.
Well, if you improve the law to protect press freedom, is always positive. The question is, in a lot of countries, but not especially in Serbia, and it was the case in Bulgaria and Romania as well, even if the law sometimes is positive, the question is how does this law is applied by the justice. Most of the time you have good text to protect press freedom. The question is people don't want to apply the text inside the medias and outside the medias as well, and in the justice as well. So even if you improve the situation, obviously in the facts you made the same kind of problems. In Serbia, for example, when there was the national protest against the fact that the pro Karadzic went inside the media, took pictures about journalists, insists and pressured the press agency, for example, in Beta Press, was pressured by the nationalists to publish their own press release because they consider medias as just a way of communication and not investigation. Which obviously, even if the text is positive, the situation inside the country remains very difficult in Serbia, especially when you aim about the crime organized during the last conflict. Is a kind of not taboo but very sensitive subject, which is very complicated to investigate and especially to publish.
Bazila smo vprašali še, ali je presenečen nad 34. mestom Makedonije, ki je, kot rečeno, tri mesta pred Slovenijo.
No, I would say that you have to take the index also in regard to the numbers and the quotation. Obviously, they are maybe at a high position, but they are, all those countries face the same kind of problems and the same kind of situation. In Macedonia, the economical situation of the media are very difficult, which means especially most of the journalists are not working with any contracts, which means that's opened the door for corruption for them. It's still difficult in Macedonia to investigate about a lot of subjects, and the independent of the media, especially the public media, are not respect, which means the situation in Macedonia is not so positive as the one in Kosovo or the one in Albania. They are facing all the kind of same systems. The influence of the political groups inside the media through the adverts, especially, for example, there is no media that can live without the support of the adverts, and and there are not so much possibility for the adverts. Mainly, they are coming from political groups or from the institution. Some companies make some adverts, but not enough to create an independence for the media. So obviously, in Macedonia, you are facing the same kind of problems in the area. Same kind of stuff in Bulgaria, same kind of stuff in Kosovo, in Albania, in Montenegro as well. So all those countries are facing the same kind of problems, and you don't have to consider Macedonia so high because obviously some depends also of the country, depends on the number of the medias inside the country, and Macedonia doesn't have the same kind of media, of number of medias in Bulgaria.
Situacija v Sloveniji je zaradi dveh novinarskih društev, ki ocenjujeta svobodo novinarskega dela, dvoznačna. Vsaka od dveh organizacij, torej Društvo novinarjev Slovenije ter Združenje novinarjev in publicistov, predstavlja svoje razloge za vztrajen padec medijske svobode v Sloveniji. Predsednik Združenja novinarjev in publicistov Igor Krišnar vidi kot glavnega krivca za padanje svobode medijev v problematični lastninski strukturi največjih tiskanih medijev. Na vprašanje, kako vidi padec Slovenije iz 9. mesta leta 2006 na današnje 37. mesto, pa odgovarja.
No, jaz bi rekel predvsem, da je po mojem Slovenija že precej niže na tej lestvici, kot je določeno. Ne? Ker jaz ne verjamem, da bi bila Italija, ki je 20 mest ali 10 mest za nami, ne? Da bi v Italiji bila svoboda medijev v bistvu slabša kot v Sloveniji. Ne? Da povem zakaj, ne? Ker enostavno v Italiji imajo pluralne medije, imajo leve in desne dnevnike, imajo veliko televizij, ljudje lahko dobijo informacije iz različnih kotov, iz različnih aspektov. Tega pri nas ni. Druga stvar, v Italiji so lahko objavili očaranju zapise, ne da bi za to poseglo sodišče in jim preprečilo to objavo oziroma jim prepovedalo nadaljno objavo določenih dejstev o očaranju. Pri nas je sodišče, okrajno sodišče to preprečilo. Sicer pa kar je pa problem, osnovni problem slovenskega medijskega prostora je to, da ni pluralen. Ne? Če gledamo, ne, večina časopisnih hiš, ki izdajajo dnevnike, ki se pravi in pokrivajo približno tam nekje 80-90 odstotkov bralstva v Sloveniji, ne, podpira aktualno vladajočo koalicijo, ki je bila vladajoča koalicija do leta 2004. Večina teh medijev je tudi v lasti ljudi, ki so iz te politične opcije.
Bolj zmeren je bil predsednik Društva novinarjev Slovenije Gregor Repovž. Poprašali smo ga, ali je za padec Slovenije na lestvici odgovoren famozni medijski zakon vlade Janeza Janše, ki je sproduciral tudi evropsko odmevno peticijo proti medijski cenzuri, ali pa morda velik vpliv kapitala na medijske hiše.
Jaz mislim, da so vsi našteti razlogi pač tista kombinacija, ki botruje temu padanju. Dejstvo je, da vse opisane kombinacije pa izvirajo iz političnega umešavanja v medije. Tudi ta lastniška struktura se je zgodila z neko politično voljo, kot se spomnimo, in to leta 2005 v pisarni bivšega predsednika vlade. Ampak treba je vzeti to poročilo drugače. Dejstvo je, da to poročilo seveda vsebuje predvsem vsa pretekla dejanja na področju medijev. In dejstvo je, da se reflektira to stanje za zamudo, vedno. Prav kakšne dve leti zamude. Se pravi, da tisto, kar je danes v poročilih, je posledica tistega, kar se je pred letom dvema dogajalo v Sloveniji. Ampak nikakor ne moramo reči, da zaradi tega poročila ne bi vzeli resno. Jaz mislim, da to, da nazaduje Slovenija, posledica tudi hude komercializacije, predvsem banalizacije medijev. In da tukaj pa je velika odgovornost pred celotno javnostjo, pa pred novinarji tudi samimi. Dejstvo je, da je za te banalizacije prišlo znotraj teh slabih razmer, ampak da je danes odgovornost politike, javnosti in seveda novinarjev, da iz vseh teh slabih stvari, ki so se zgodile, vzamejo zaključke in začnejo delati za boljši medijski prostor.
Pregled stanja v Sloveniji pa je podal tudi Olivier Bazil, ki je padec dežele komentiral znanim primerom sodbe sodišča proti dnevniku zaradi poročanja o italijanskem poslovnežu Pier Paolo Ceraniju.
Well, in Slovenia, mainly on in September and October, started on August, but as the index is from September 2008 till September 2009, you had a big case of Dnevnik. This is a newspaper has made investigation about, let's say, one controversial businessman, an Italian man, who seems to have a good influence and a high influence in the Slovenian economy, and they wanted just to publish a kind of investigation regarding this man, and the one court of justice in Ljubljana decided to stop them and to ask them just to publish positive information about Pier Paolo Serani, which was obviously not acceptable in the European countries, that Levnik was not able to make any kind of statement about this or just choose their own editorial aspect on this mission. There were a lot of newspaper in Italy, in Bulgaria or whatever, was already published information regarding the Pier Paolo Serani, and the decision of the court was very surprising. So that dropped the Slovenian media.
Za zaključek smo Bazila povprašali o vplivu omenjene lestvice na vlade in medijske skupine in ali ima vsakoletna raziskava kakšen pozitiven vpliv na upletene v medijskem prostoru.
Well, that's a question you have to give to the government. I hope that the government regarding this index with interest and try to improve their own situation, but that's their own choice. I mean, we are just publishing this with the most scientific way we can, and we propose that doesn't mean that we're ranking the quality of the press, that we mean we will focus on 50 questions regarding some key points and some key problems of press media, press freedom in those countries, and we hope that the government of those countries will take these remarks under consideration, but that's their own choice and their own problems, and we can make pressure on them, but not so much, especially inside the EU. If you want to have credibility with the relation with the third country, you first have to protect the freedom of the press in your own countries and being at the first places in the index. If you want to give any kind of license to other countries, so obviously we hope that those countries will be able to take this under consideration.
Kultivirala sta vas Boris in Igor.
Kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Naturalizaciji.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek v OFF programu skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.